Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Savior, like a shepherd lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Reading once more from Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So far we read these wonderful words, blessed exhortation, blessing if we do them. And let's pray that we will be able to do them and do it as we read. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's come before the Father through him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, knowing and acknowledging that he is the only door into thy presence of blessing, of love, of forgiveness, of reconciliation, and of every good and blessing for time and eternity. We give thanks that thou, Father, art the Father of every good and perfect gift, that thou dost also give gifts to the rebellious and bring them to submission. Thou dost give the gifts in nature to both the just and the unjust, the sunshine and the rain. Help us to see, Father, that there is only reason for thankfulness, for thy love, thy patience, thy mercy, and above all, thy grace in Christ. And we pray for more of that in the church, that the church might be revived, that the year that we are now in may be a year of blessing, a year of revival, a year of awakening. And we pray, Father, that that may take place in every nation, every tongue, every tribe, that it may be true for both Jew and Gentile. And we ask, Father, that thou wilt not only give those spiritual blessings, but also those, Lord Jesus, that thou hast promised to add for those who would seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness. We give thanks for health that we have. We give thanks for being kept from injury. We give thanks for food, for raiment, for housing. And we pray for those who are without these necessities of life and are suffering even now in homelessness and hunger, those also in sickness and injury, those in sorrow, those in lonesomeness. We pray also for our homes, that they might be rightly established, that the church might be taught that it will teach thy word and not the tradition of men. We pray, Father, for homes that are troubled and broken, that they might be kept together that are still together, that they might be reconciled that are apart. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools, the workplace. We pray for our leaders in each and every nation, that thy fear might be in them, which is the beginning of wisdom, that we might be taken away from the foolishness which we have gone into in so many nations and the awfulness of it, the wars and the division, the strife, the pride. We pray, Father, that we may not be left to destroy ourselves, and especially we think of the future for our children, that we are taking it away and giving it away. We pray, Father, that we might have that which is in thy kingdom and that which alone can then restore a right way with thee and with each other, all through Christ. Amen. I'd like to look at these words once again. We have looked at them last week, and the time came to an end quite suddenly. The peace, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And as we mentioned last week, we have to be thankful to have peace. And we could also put it the other way around. We have to have peace with God to be thankful. Otherwise, we are in unrest, in a troubled mind, in a sinful state, sadly, oft times of pride, but also of fear and confusion. And as Daniel could say, after Israel had been so disobedient, to us belongeth confusion of faces as it is this day. That is far from peace with God, peace with each other, peace with ourselves, peace in the home. It was a terrible time, though Daniel had blessing in the midst of another nation, captives, and Daniel individually could have peace with God, but he prayed for the nation. He prayed for the future as well as the present, and we need to do the same in each of our nations. But here, Paul is first of all speaking to the church at Colossae, and to us as well. Each one of us in the church, in the body of Christ, should be able to hear these words. As the Lord Jesus said to John, writing to the seven churches, let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And the Spirit is here speaking to this church at Colossae through the pen of Paul, but all by the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, who directed Paul individually and directed Paul as an apostle to write to this church and to us. And we have here this exhortation, this command, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. First of all, before God, there should be no rebellion. And as I mentioned earlier, in prayer, Psalm 68, and Paul repeats it in Ephesians 4, that Christ gave gifts to the rebellious also, the gift of pastors, teachers, all teaching so we can be brought in the unity together, unity with God, unity with one another, in that one body, Christ being the head. And we need to see that. We need to believe that. This is God's true way. There is a way of peace with God. It is to be preached, Paul, and believing it, and knowing that the church at Rome believed it, he could write to them saying, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That all came by preaching of the word, all by faith, being justified by faith. Later, Paul would write, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it can rightly be called the peace of God. It can be called the peace from God. It can be called the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is himself the way of peace, the author of peace. It isn't with the Satan. He's an enemy to it. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And Christ addressed some as, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. And as Isaiah said, there is no peace, saith our God, to the wicked, like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. But thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And we should begin with thinking about God. God. Yes, the only true God. The one of whom Moses wrote, also by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Created out of nothing, spoke the word, and it was done. Each of the next 6 days, speaking certain things into existence. And it was done, and it was good. That very simple, plain way. Enough that a child ought to be able to understand it. I have numerous books that show what God did the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and then rested on the seventh day. So simple, so plain. Amazingly, so wonderfully plain that the Lord Jesus says, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter in by faith. Sometimes we're too big to simply believe what God tells us so wonderfully, so plainly. And if we don't believe it in the beginning, what makes us think we'll believe it further on in Scripture? If we don't believe in the creation story, will we believe and have this? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There is such a thing as a false peace. There was that in the time of Jeremiah. They cried, peace, peace, when there was no peace, and the people love to have it so. There's people that love to hear the lie today, and they are hearing it. Lie in more ways than we can even enter into, and we won't think of that today. But I can tell you one thing, that you cannot have the lie and have perfect peace, as one song states it. Peace with God in your hearts. Let it rule there. Let it have the dominance. And if it rules in us as individuals, each of us, then it will rule in the home. Then it will rule in the church. Then it will rule in the nation. if the church becomes the salt and light in a nation. It's true that there might be individuals, homes, and a church in a nation that remains that which is in a minority in such a way that it's persecuted, and that certainly is true in many nations. But at the same time, Christ says, you are the salt of the earth. And even in a nation that they are in a minority, or as Daniel was with his three friends, only a few. And Joseph, basically, first alone in Egypt, and then God using him wonderfully, saving the nation from the famine. All of that can be done by those who have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that God promised him to Adam, to Abraham, to others along the way, and that we can only have that, as I could remind you in different messages after we began this third chapter. The beginning of it is, if you be then risen with Christ. Christ who died and rose again and then went to sit on the right hand of the Father on high. So if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I was thinking earlier today about those who want so much to have their city here on earth, individuals, nations, but we read of Abraham had here no abiding city. And in that way, things didn't trouble him. He looked for a city of whom God was the builder and the maker. And in that way, he could have the peace of God on earth, the peace of God with God, and the peace of God with others, wherever he was. There was times he was weak, fearful, but in the main, Abraham was called the friend of God, one that had the peace of God ruling in his heart, and to which others could be likened later, and also separated when Christ would say to some who claimed to be Abraham's children, he said, this did not Abraham. He didn't do like you're doing. He walked with God by faith. And in that way, we have peace with God. The more we walk by faith, believing God's word, believing God's way, denying ourselves and taking up our cross, there will be peace with God. And it doesn't stop individually. It says, to which you are also called in one body. One body. You are called with others. We already mentioned the home. If one has peace with God, he will not have trouble, will not have pride, will not have division. Husband or wife will not want that. It's only when there is no peace, when they've got a troubled breast, when there's pride, other problems, that all this unrest comes, this dissatisfaction, this covetousness, enmity, jealousy, disobedience, all there, affecting. As I said before, and I have to repeat it, half of our homes until they lessen, change. We're destroying our homes. We're destroying the next generation by what parents are doing in the home and not doing in the home. No peace of God. No peace with each other. No preparing a way of peace for the next generation. We can't do it in the home. We don't do it in the church. And if we don't do it in the church, we won't do it in the home. It works both ways, as well as not working at all. When we're contrary to God's word, when we rise above it, when we're like Satan with Eve, hath God said? Yes, God said. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And I don't have to say except. If you want to say except, one of the Gospels says except for fornication. If there was a sin found out that was committed before marriage, That's the one exception. We can try to wrest the scriptures for other things and change it and say, well, this means the same and that means that. But that's not peace with God. That's war against God, war against His Word. That's arresting the Scripture to our own destruction, and there's no peace in destruction. Not for time or eternity. That's the broad way that leads to destruction, final destruction in the end, and temporal destruction now, homes, nations, tearing apart, no matter where we go. Part of the problem in the schools, children in troubled homes. Part of the problem in the workplace, children out of troubled homes that haven't learned to work with one another and work for one another in submission. The command is here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts in which you are called in one body and be ye thankful. And sadly, the church has not been a good example of it, as it should be. This one was in Colossae. It seemed to be that in Philippi for the most part, except for two persons that were warned to live in harmony together. It was not that way in Corinth when Paul had to say to them, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. Carnal means fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Don't we realize it's carnal when one says, I'm of Luther, another says, I'm of Calvin, another says, no, I follow the Pope, and another says, I'm this and I'm that? That's carnality. That's putting a group of people ahead of Christ's body and Christ as the head. Why are these denominations separate? Because they believe the Scripture in part. Yes, each one thinks, I have the right part. But do any? Do any of them believe that being under the head of a name of a man is anything less than carnality? And along with it, Paul says, you are babes, carnal babes. Terrible. Paul continues and says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but Christ, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Paul learnt that himself. Right from the beginning, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Christ says, go to such and such a place, and it will be told you what to do. He went there. Ananias told him to not tarry, but rise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling in the name of the Lord. How many are doing that today? How many enter into the kingdom of God like he did? In submission to the word of Christ. Christ sent Ananias, told him what to say. Christ said, Paul is my witness, and told him what to say. And here, after some time, the church was established, he is calling them to the way of sanctification, to the way of obedience. We could also call it a way of submission. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He didn't say, take off an arm and call it Reformed, take off another arm and call it Presbyterian, take off a leg and call it Baptist, take off some more and call it Catholic, or Brethren, or this, or that, or something else. And the enmity that's there, the killing that has been there, I hate to say it in front of the world, But it's terrible, and we have to go back, as Daniel said, to us belongeth confusion of face as this day. Daniel knew it. Today people are proud, say, not me. I don't have confusion. That's somebody else. If you don't recognize it, you are confused. You do not see things as they are according to God's word. And if I can be proved wrong, I'll be thankful. You can show me a church where there's not divorce, where there's not carnality, where there's not a name that shouldn't be there, that there's not doctrines that are contrary to the word of God. They're all there, different. All of that is of man, and it separates. Sadly, the Reformation, as good as it was, brought 30 years of war in Germany. And it didn't end with that. The church was sadly too much one with Hitler and the terrible things he did. Awful. The church had a part of it. The church was guilty with him. Not all of it. There were some that stood and died for it and went to prison for it, thankfully. But as a whole, the church was guilty with the wickedness of the leaders. And too often that's been that way. Our civil war, one church agreeing with one side, another church agreeing with the other side, instead of saying, let's get together and pray. Let's not stop praying until we know together that we are one body and be thankful. We were a split body with horrendous, awful, awful, awful results. Anybody that has read some of parts of the Civil War know the awfulness of it, the terribleness of it, beyond description, beyond repeating. And we could go on and on and on till today, the wars that are taking place, the wars that are taking place in heathen lands as well as so-called Christian lands. Killing one another, destroying one another. Awful. And it's all over. It's time that we come under one head, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became man, that would bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, if he was listened to, and if he was believed on. And from then on, there would be a people who would let the peace of God rule in their hearts. Paul, going back to the Corinthians, Paul had to say, you take one another to court. I've known it to be done my own life. I've seen it. People do it. All called Christians. Others look at it and wonder, say, what's going on? What is this? We have to say it amongst each other in the church, and what does the world say? The world doesn't know what Christ wanted it to know, that he came to save sinners.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.